I'm going to start off with a question tonight. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Who would like to know how you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? I mean, who would like to know that? Okay, well, my answer is actually that you don't. You really don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. You actually use the Bible to explain dinosaurs.
Glorifying God, proclaiming truth, and reclaiming America for Christ. This is Truths That Transform. Your host is Dr. D. James Kennedy, pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and president of Coral Ridge Ministries. Discover how to apply biblical principles and transform your world through Jesus Christ. It's a question evolutionists love and Christians loathe. Perhaps you've been hit with this query by a skeptic. Oh, if the world was created in 6 days, then humans and dinosaurs must have lived at the same time. How do you explain that? It's a question that causes many believers to backtrack and even doubt the Bible's accuracy. But after hearing today's program, you won't have to worry about that anymore. Over the next two broadcasts, Dr. Kennedy's guest Ken Ham provides the answers to this and other difficult questions of our origins. What you're about to hear is a recent address he gave at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, where he was introduced by Dr. Kennedy.
You know where the book of Job is. Remember, one of our candidates, Dean, came to the South and told the people that he was quite into the Bible. In fact, his favorite New Testament book was the book of Job. And turn to the 40th chapter, and we'll begin reading with the 15th verse. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. And may God speak to us today from this little heard word from God. And may his name be praised. And now it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce an old friend I've known for a good many years, who's doing a magnificent job in teaching the great doctrines of creation throughout the nation and throughout the world. In fact, he hails from Australia. And he came over here, he and his wife came over here 18 years ago as missionaries to America. I told him, does he know any others that could come over here? We need some help. And especially the kind that he is giving. He formed an organization entitled Answers in Genesis, and he's spoken all over the country and the world. He is now being interviewed by various networks and newspapers from here to England and beyond. There is an increasing interest in this. Ken Ham is also doing something else that I think is remarkable. Right outside of Cincinnati, he is in process of building a creation museum. Now, we've got a whole lot of evolutionary museums, but he is building a creation museum, which I'm sure that hundreds of thousands or millions of people over the coming years will visit and learn another side of the story. A delightful fellow, a very extraordinarily knowledgeable man about this whole subject, coming to speak to us about dinosaurs and the Bible. Won't you welcome, please, Dr. Ken Ham.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kennedy. It's a real privilege to be here. I want to talk to you about an interesting topic tonight. You see, dinosaurs are probably used more than anything to convince young children and mums and dads, all sorts of people, that the Bible's not true. And dinosaurs are so equated with evolution in millions of years, and many adults don't even know what to do with them. You'd be surprised the number of Christians that I've met that have actually told their children they didn't exist because they didn't know what to do with them. You know, I had one pastor's wife actually was really upset with me for talking on dinosaurs at the church because she had told her children they didn't exist. I mean, what happens when you go to a museum and children see those bones? Mum, look at all those bones. What bones? I don't see any bones. What are you talking about? Of course they existed. We find dead ones all over the world. And a lot of Christians don't know what to do with them. So I'm going to start off with a question tonight. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Who would like to know how you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? I mean, who would like to know that? Okay, well, my answer is actually that you don't. Now, I admit it's a bit of a trick question, but I want you to understand something. You really don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. You actually use the Bible to explain dinosaurs. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when you consider all those wonderful creatures I'm sure we're all familiar with, you've heard of those, haven't you? You know, and Parasaurolophus, and Pachycephalosaurus, Deuteromyosauridae, Tanistravis, Allosaurus, Supersaurus, Brontosaurus, Tyrannosaurus. You've heard all those before, haven't you? And people say, well, okay, the Bible doesn't even mention T-Rex. No, that's true. It doesn't mention T-Rex by name. That's true. But I believe the Bible does mention T-Rex, but it sort of doesn't, but it does. But anyway, we'll talk about that as we go on here. You see, the evolutionists teach us that there was a dinosaur age 70 to 200 million years ago. Now, how do they know that? Well, they got in a time machine, went back, had a look. Well, actually, they weren't there, were they? They don't know that that happened. And what I want to say to you tonight is this. If the Bible is what it claims to be, the revealed word of God, and it's not just a book of stories, it's not just a book of religion, it's a history book, isn't it? And you know, it touches on geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry. You know, a lot of people in churches across America think the Bible has nothing to do with geology. You wouldn't come to church to learn about geology. They think you go to school to learn about geology. Well, that's the problem. The problem is the church, by and large, much of it, gave up their geology to the world and let the world educate generations of children in a geology that contradicts the Bible. And then we wonder why the children grow up rejecting the Bible. And so we're going to deal with some geology tonight and some biology and have all sorts of fun things to do. But I want to give you a summary, first of all, of the history in the Bible. And this is what the Creation Museum is based upon. By the way, it's a 100,000 square foot facility, and we're going to have all sorts of life-size dioramas and a walk through biblical history that God created. Perfect world. There was no death in the world. By the way, if there's no death before Adam sinned, you can't have dead dinosaurs before Adam sinned. Isn't that right? You know, a lot of us don't even think about those things like that. And then the first man, Adam, sinned. Corruption, death, disease. It was a different world now. And then there was a flood, a global flood. If there was a global flood, you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And actually you find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And by the way, it means all animals and dinosaurs, if they were living there, which I believe they were all wiped out except for those on Noah's Ark. Isn't that right? So they must have migrated from where Noah's Ark landed over the earth. Hey, by the way, you realize that means that kangaroos lived in the Middle East? You ever thought about that? Yeah. And then there's a confusion at the time of the Tower of Babel. God gave different languages, and so people split up and moved out over the earth as the animals also migrated with them over the earth. And of course, then the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped into history to die on a cross, be raised from the dead, so those who put their faith and trust in Him can spend eternity with Him. By the way, do you realize the gospel is based in that history? And what the world is saying is that history is not true. And dinosaurs, one of the topics they're using to convince people that the Bible's history is not true. They say, no, there was an age of dinosaurs 65, 200 million years ago. Man never lived with the dinosaurs. Well, I want to tell you that the Bible actually talks about ages concerning dinosaurs. It does. Here, five ages, in fact. They were formed, fallen, flood, faded, and found. They're the five ages of dinosaurs the Bible talks about. You see, what we're going to do is, do you realize what I just did there, in essence, was give you a summary of that biblical history. We're going to put on our biblical glasses. What we're doing is this. I look on the Bible as like a pair of glasses. And each one of us should have on those biblical glasses 24 hours a day. So as I'm looking at the world, I'm thinking in terms of a perfect world marred by sin, death as a consequence, the flood of Noah's day, the Tower of Babel, Christ, the cross, the resurrection. There's a new heavens and new earth to come, and we're right here, right now. But as I look at the world, I can start to explain things from the Bible. And if the Bible's right, operational science, what you can observe and test in the present, the science of genetics and the science of geology, biology, astronomy, should confirm the Bible's history, shouldn't it?
And it does. That's the exciting thing about being a Christian. The Bible's true.
Geology, history, and biology all prove that God's Word is true. When we return with more from Dr. Kennedy's guest, Ken Ham, you'll learn how it was that humans and dinosaurs could have existed at the same time. But you know, that is one of the most controversial aspects of the creation-evolution debate. At first glance, the evolutionists seem to have the upper hand. After all, we were all taught in high school biology that dinosaurs evolved over time and had a common ancestor. But guess what disproves that claim? The fossil record. We invite you to find out why as you request our latest resource, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Written by today's guest, Ken Ham, this fact-filled 48-page booklet shows you how the Bible and the fossil record complement each other. Discover the answer for yourself when you ask for What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Request your copy for a financial donation when you call 1-800-229-WORD. Please tell us if you're a first-time caller, and we'll send you this resource at no cost. 800-229-9673. Or log on to truthsthattransform.org. And now let's return for more from Dr. Kennedy's guest, Ken Ham.
Well, let's go on and give you a little summary tonight. I can't do it in detail, of course, because it would take millions of years. But no, I don't believe in millions of years. That's right. Formed, okay? The Bible tells us God made everything in 6 days. I'm dealing with that issue this week at the Defending the Faith conference. They were ordinary days, and on day six, he made land animals and man. If he made land animals, dinosaurs were land animals, so did he make land animals on day six? Isn't that simple? And he must have made T-Rex on day six. He doesn't mention T-Rex specifically, but if he mentions land animals, which it does, and T-Rex was a land animal, then T-Rex was made on day six. Isn't that right? And so was Adam and Eve, which means dinosaurs lived with people. And I can prove that too. I have a photograph Eve took way back there at the beginning, just to show you that. Well, if she had a camera, it would have looked like that maybe. Although Adam's got clothes on. But I couldn't show you a pre-fall photo, and you understand that. So originally we have dinosaurs and people living together. And people say, how long ago was that? Actually, if you take Archbishop Usher's date of the creation, I think it's pretty close. He took the days of creation and all those genealogies, added them up, and came to about, he said 4,000 BC, which is about 6,000 years ago. Now, of course, I love teaching children. I notice there's some children here tonight. You know, I teach children favorite phrases that they remember, and it teaches them how to think. For instance, they come to me and say, but what about the evolutionists that say dinosaurs lived millions of years ago? Well, let's go to a Bible verse, Job 38 and verse 4. Where God said to Job, were you there when I made the earth? And I like to teach children this. The next time somebody says to you millions of years, just put your hand up, and in a nice way, you say, excuse me, were you there? Of course, they'd come back to me and say, we asked the evolutionists, were you there? And they said, no, we weren't. But they said, you weren't either. What do we do now? I said, oh, that's simple. You say, no, I wasn't there, but I know someone who was, and I have his word. Are you interested? You see, we know one who's always been there, who knows everything, who's recorded the true history of the world. Where are you going to put your faith? In the words of men who don't know everything, who weren't there, who are sinful creatures, whose theories change all the time? I'd rather put my faith and trust in the Word of God, who's always been there, whose Word changes not. Then people say to me, wait a minute, the word dinosaur, I don't find it in the Bible. That's true, you don't find the word email in the Bible either. And it came after the curse, as you know, if you have email. But you see, here's the interesting thing. The word email is a modern word. The word dinosaur is a modern word. The King James Bible was first translated into English in 1611. The word dinosaur wasn't invented till 1841. So you wouldn't find the word dinosaur in the King James Bible. The word dinosaur was invented by a man called Sir Richard Owen, a famous Englishman. He was a British anatomist. He was the director of the British Museum. He had a couple of big bones, Iguanodon and Megalosaurus, and he wanted a name for them. So he invented the name dinosaur from two Greek words, dinosauria, which means terrible lizard. That's one of the reasons why most people think all dinosaurs are great big monsters. I've got news for you. Do you know what the average size of a dinosaur is from all the dinosaur skeletons we find on Earth? The average size. The size of a sheep. That's true. So don't get the idea they're all big. I'll mention that more in a moment. But you know, I think there is a word in the Bible that means much the same as dinosaur. In fact, what's interesting, you know, as we have flood legends all over the world attesting to the fact there was a real flood and the real records in the Bible, there are dragon legends all over the world. You go to the country, China, they have lots of stories about dragons. The country of Wales has, as its national emblem, a dragon. And the flag of Scotland, there's a dragon. There's all sorts of dragon legends across Europe. I've been to England and here are some heads carved of dragons, carved hundreds of years ago, as far as we know. They look like T-Rex heads. It's interesting, in the Bible, you know, there's a Hebrew word, tanin, which means dragon. If you replace it with dinosaur, in most instances, it fits very nicely, like in Isaiah. Not Isaiah. Notice the I is in the middle. You see that? Just want you to get it right. Isaiah. We see the word dragons. And in Jeremiah, the word dragons. I personally believe the dragons were old. I think they could be what we today call dinosaurs. Because you see their carvings and pictures all over the world. And many of them just look like some of the dinosaurs that have been tried to be reconstructed. But see, the interesting thing is, too, there's a dragon that lives in the sea, Leviathan, described in Job 41. Not just dragons on the land, and there's dragons in the waters according to the Psalms. Why couldn't they be something like the great Kronosaurus or the Plesiosaurs? You know what's interesting? If we start from the Bible instead of starting man's ideas outside the Bible, see, I started with that question. Do you want to know how you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? What many Christians do, they start with man's interpretation of the evidence and say, how do you fit that into the Bible? But if we start with the Bible and build our way of thinking and look at the evidence, we can use real science in the present and we can confirm that interpretation. And you see things a little differently. You know, there's even a fiery flying serpent in Isaiah. Well, you know, scientists even talk about flying serpents that once lived on earth, like the Ramphorhynchus or the Pteranodon or the Pterodactyl. And then, of course, none of us believe in fire-breathing dragons, do we? Do we believe in fire-breathing dragons? Well, why not? I mean, in Job 41, talking about Leviathan, out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out, and out of his nostrils go smoke. Do you not have heard some of the liberals say, oh yeah, that was just a mythical animal? Wait a minute. God's describing to Job all these different animals and situations and lightning and all these real things, and suddenly in real animals, and suddenly in Job 41, it's a mythical animal? That doesn't make any sense. Why not? I mean, there's a little beetle today that can blast fire and smoke out of twin cannons in its rear end at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, a little tiny beetle to try and put a frog off its meal. Don't you think a great big Kronosaurus or something could do something a little more than that? Why not? Now, I want to show you, we have a dinosaur sculptor on staff, and by the way, as part of our Creation Museum, there are 70 life-size dinosaurs. But I want to show you, here's a Stegosaurus. He's not really, he's big, but he's not really that big. Now, when Buddy Davis built the T-Rex, now that's a fairly big dinosaur, 40 feet long, 14 feet high. You get the idea there. We took him on a test ride once he was built. But he's going to be in our Creation Museum. And I wanted to show you just a little glimpse of this, seeing as we mentioned this. It's a 100,000 square foot facility. The gates like this are being built right now, actually. And when you come into the facility, actually it's even more, it's progressed much more than this. The building now is actually finished. And eventually it'll look like this. The humanists tried to stop us building that. In fact, we had a previous piece of property that wasn't on the freeway, and the humanists tried to shut us down and stop it, and there was court cases and so on. We lost that property, and we were really depressed about it. And then we got this one, which is 50 acres right on a major freeway, far better than the other property, and we say, praise the Lord, what was meant for evil, God used for good. Haven't you heard that before somewhere? God is good. What we're doing in all of this is we're telling the world the Bible's true, its history's true, which is why its message of the gospel is true. And we're answering the questions of the world. I think it's about time we had a major facility like that to proclaim the gospel around the world. And we're building nature trails as well. All around the lake, there are teaching nature trails. Well, anyway, you saw some of those dinosaurs. I said the average size of a dinosaur is the size of a sheep. Did you know that many dinosaurs were as small as chickens? That's true. If they'd have survived to today, we'd had Kentucky Fried Dinosaur instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken. But of course, you know, then people say to me, now wait a minute. Are you saying that T-Rex with all those teeth lived beside Adam? Yes. Don't you think Adam would have been a little scared when T-Rex was considering lunch? Well, no. Why not? Well, if you take Genesis the way Jesus did, you know how Jesus took Genesis? Jesus, the Word, Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator. Do you know how he took Genesis? In Matthew 19, when he was asked about marriage, he said, haven't you read, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'll be one flesh. You know what Jesus was saying? Because Genesis is true and the history is true, and you take it as literal history, that's what the doctrine of marriage is built upon. By the way, that's the problem with America right now, because if they believe Genesis, it's very simple, it's a man and a woman, because God made a man and a woman, not a man and a man. But here's the problem. The problem is, when you take whole generations of children through an education system and teach them the Bible's not true and Genesis is not true, marriage is whatever you want to make it to be. And by the way, not just marriage. Do you realize ultimately every single biblical doctrine of theology, directly or indirectly, is founded in the history in Genesis 1 to 11? If you wanted to destroy the doctrines of Christianity and a culture, one of the best ways to do it is to attack Genesis 1 to 11, which is what has been done through the education system and the media. It's why there's such an emotional reaction by the ACLU and the humanists when people try to get creation taught in schools. Have you seen the emotional reaction in the newspapers and across the nation? That's why we've had a media frenzy just recently, because of some of the things that happened. Look what happened in Cobb County. The school board put a sticker in the biology textbook that said, evolution is a theory. Actually, I wouldn't even call it a theory. A theory gives it credence. It's actually a hypothesis or a belief. But they said evolution is a theory and not a fact, and students should have an open and critical mind. And you know, I read the judge's 40-page brief where he said the sticker had to come out. You know what he basically said? He basically said this: even though the sticker itself, as you read it, has what he calls a secular intent, because the people who put the sticker there are Christians, therefore they have a Christian intent, therefore the sticker can't be there. What would be the difference between saying a Christian teacher in a public school, because they're Christian, they have a Christian intent, so they shouldn't be allowed to teach in a public school? What would the difference be? See, it's that clash of worldviews, isn't it? Between, as one newspaper put it, there's a godly America and a worldly America. And in a sense, that's really what's happening. It's a clash between Christian morality and a secular humanist philosophy. It's a two worldviews. And you know what the media said? They said at a foundational level, this is what they're really saying, it's creation versus evolution. Because they recognize, if you believe in creation, what we're really saying is the Bible's true. And if the Bible's true and Genesis is true, marriage is one man for one woman. Oh boy, the secular media don't want to hear that today, do they? Well, you know, if you take Genesis the way Jesus did, in Genesis 1:29, he told Adam and Eve to eat fruit, and he told the animals in verse 30 to eat plants, which means originally they were all vegetarian. Now you might say, oh, wait a minute, I ate a hot dog, which is dead everything. Well, that's okay, because in Genesis 9, after the flood, God said, just as I gave you the plants, now I give you all things, which is a great definition of a hot dog. Here's what I want to say to you, though. Do you realize, if you believe in millions of years, many Christians, most Christian leaders in America say you can believe in millions of years. You believe in millions of years, it comes from the idea that the layers were laid down with the fossils over millions of years before man, but those layers are full of dead things. They're full of evidence of cancer, for instance. Do you think at the end of the 6-day of creation, God said everything was very good and the world's full of cancer? Have you noticed how, and one of the questions of the age is, how can there be a loving God when there's all this death and suffering in the world, like the tsunami and 9/11? Do you know most Christian leaders really can't give an answer because they don't understand about original sin and the entrance of death because of sin? It's only those who believe in literal Genesis who have the answers.
With the Bible, it's all or nothing. If you remove the first 3 chapters of Genesis, you not only have no explanation for the world's tragedies, you no longer need Jesus Christ. That's why we must strive to defend all of Scripture, including the record of creation. Dr. Kennedy's guest today is Ken Ham, and next time he returns for the exciting conclusion of his presentation, Dinosaurs and the Bible. Stay tuned. A bit later, I'll tell you how to find out more about the Creation Museum that Ken mentioned earlier. First, though, I want to tell you about a resource that addresses and expands upon what you've just heard. It's Ken Ham's booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? He answers important questions like, Do dinosaurs prove or disprove evolution? Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? And so much more. It's all right there in this documented resource, and you can request your copy when you support this radio ministry. Call 1-800-229-WORD. That's 800-229-9673. Please specify if you're a first-time caller, and we'll send you What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs with our compliments. Or you can log on to truthsthattransform.org, where we provided links with more information on the Creation Museum. That's truthsthattransform.org. As our way of saying thank you for an additional gift of $5 or more, we will send you an audio cassette of Ken Ham's entire message, Dinosaurs and the Bible. Don't forget to ask how you can become a part of Dr. Kennedy's Producers Guild when you call 1-800-229-WORD. Finally, if a rooster got in a fight with a dinosaur, who would win? Would you believe our feathered friend might actually stand a chance? Find out how next time. Until then, may the truths in God's Word continue to transform your heart. Views expressed by guests on this program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.